creation. It's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, and, well, hopefully the Chris Pinto is going to be with us this evening. We had a two-hour stint arranged with him, and for some reason why we're having difficulty getting hold of him. So we're going to give you a little music for your 30 seconds while I talk to my producer, give him another potential telephone number, and we'll be right back here. Well, in the meantime, of course, Chris Pinto has actually put together two of the most important movies that we have, their DVDs. The first one is called The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning. And it goes into the background of the secret societies that were working here in the United States at the time America was founded. Now, most people, they scoff at you if you talk about secret societies. Oh, you believe in conspiracies. But ladies and gentlemen, there have always been secret societies, and they operate today, just as they operated when America was founded. And, of course, one of the major secret societies at that time was the Rosicrucians. Now, if you doubt that the Rosicrucians exist, let me suggest you go up on the Internet. You can pull down their websites, and they're there. The purpose of the Rosicrucians is to begin to tap into that mysterious force that is available to everybody who wants to find it. And that is, of course, the secret force that has been passed down through the centuries. And what it really is beginning to contact the other dimension. And by contacting that other dimension, there is another dimension. It is a spiritual dimension. It is a demonic dimension. And you don't want to have anything to do with it. But there have always been people who have been intrigued, thinking, oh, if we could just find the secret knowledge, if we could find the secret of alchemy, which has nothing to do with turning dross into gold. It has to do with finding the gold within you. The fact that you are the center of all knowledge, that you are the center of the universe, that you indeed have supernatural power. Now, there you may think this is sort of a foolish idea, but the reality is that there is force that you can tap into, but of course at the risk of your eternal soul. There's a new thing that is sweeping America, a new concept. It's called The Secret. It's pushed by a woman named Rhonda Byrne and has recently been popularized by Oprah Winfrey, by Larry King, Jim Carrey. And all of them admit that they have used this special technique through the years to give them success. But of course, what it really is Rosicrucianism. It's that same old heresy, the Gnostic heresy that has been around for thousands of years, dating back to the Kabbalah, and then back to the time of ancient Egypt, back to the ancient priests. People who tapped into this secret knowledge were able to levitate. Many people believe that the great blocks of the pyramid were levitated into place. You can have a levitation, but of course you don't want to dabble in this, believe me. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Chris Pinto, and we're hoping to have Chris with us, but in lieu of that, I'm going to have to invite people, if you'd like to give us a call. Our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, because this may be a very long two-hour open-line program, which is fine. I always enjoy the open-line programs. Under any circumstances, Chris Pinto's DVD, The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning, goes into the Rosicrucian influence that existed in Elizabeth in England, existed within British intelligence at that time, and a man named Dr. D, who signed his name 007. Of course, he was very, very high up in the British royalty, and of course, worked at that time to promote these esoteric ideas. And then, of course, he was succeeded by a man named Sir Francis Bacon. And Francis Bacon was really the man who was responsible for what happened here in the United States, because Francis Bacon believed that America would become the new Atlantis. You remember Chris's story of the lost Atlantis? Lost Atlantis was described by Plato in his dialogues, and it was supposed to be a wonderful utopian place where there was great knowledge and great understanding. Of course, many of us believe that what he was really describing, Atlantis, was really, of course, the pre-flood world that was so corrupt that God set out to describe it, to destroy it. And as you know, when Jesus was asked, how will we know when you're going to return? Why, he says it was as it was in the days of Noah. Well, certainly in the days of Noah, the world was corrupt. And many, many people believe that this is what the world was like in ancient Atlantis. But it was Francis Bacon's desire to have the United States become the new Atlantis. And he actually made arrangements for Englishmen to come to the United States, and members of their secret society, the Rosicrucians, and to begin working to take over this new and young nation. Well, Chris, what's so interesting about the story here, although Francis Bacon died, I think it was in 1626, somewhere in there. Why, of course, later on, why we did see the secret societies established here probably in 1640, 1650. And these people working within the secret societies set out to totally corrupt our society, so that by 1740 we were a corrupt nation. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and since we don't have a guest, why, we're going to invite your calls here at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But I was giving a little of the history in the background of these ideas of the secret societies, and certainly we know that the at least according to Mandy P. Hall, of the Philosophical Research Institute in Southern California, who was a 33rd degree Mason, was in the upper echelons of secret esoteric lodges of Masonry. And when he died, he was referred to as Manly Hall, often referred to as Masonry's greatest philosopher. And Manly P. Hall, in his book, The Secret Destiny of America, which we do carry here at Radio Liberty on a special... You can't get it, unless you ask for it specifically, because we don't want people to think we endorse the writings of Manly P. Hall, but we want them here for those who want to research them. And certainly, Manly P. Hall talked about how these Rosicrucian groups came to America 1640, 1650. Now, he doesn't point out that by 1740, America was a totally corrupt nation. Why? Because the purpose of Rosicrucianism, the purpose of the Gnostic heresies, and of all of these secret societies has always been to turn people against the God of the Bible. And, of course, then we had the First Great Awakening, and we had John Wesley, and we had certainly Jonathan Edwards, and they went from town to town on horseback, and they brought about an awareness of the spiritual battle, and people turned from the wicked and evil ways, and there was the First Great Awakening in America. And as a direct result of that came this belief in creating a new nation, but it was to be a new nation under God. And this was why our revolution was different than any of the other revolutions that have ever followed. Well, of course, there were also, of course, at the time of the American Revolution, there was a small cadre of people who were tied into the mystery religions, and they wanted a revolution too. But they wanted a different type of America. They wanted a godless America where men would be totally free to do whatever they wanted to, and without realizing that if you do not have some restraints on mankind, you get moral anarchy. And it was, of course, the people who were pushing total liberty without responsibility, without God, who were working here at the same time the Christians were working. And what most people have not realized is that there were two forces at work in the United States initially. One was the Christian, the other was the occult. And we see the influence of the occult in many of the in the outline of the architecture of our nation's capital. And of course, that's the subject of Chris Pinto's second DVD, The Riddles in Stone, and of course goes into the secret architecture of our nation's capital. And there has always been here in the United States the battle between the two forces, the Christian on one side, the occult on the other. And initially the Christian influence was predominant, and then of course as time went by it began to fade, and the occult influence came forward to the point where today our nation is totally under the occult influence, and the there's no real Christian influence in our government. Oh, they utilize Christians. We have a lot of good Christian leaders who go to the White House regularly for briefings and to be told how important it is we go to war with Iran and how important it is we have to torture people because after all we have to protect America and to justify the war in Afghanistan and the war in Iraq and the coming war, of course, with Iran. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, because unfortunately Chris Pinto apparently is going to be unavailable. So it's just going to be you and me out here. And if you have something you'd like to talk about, since I'm totally unprepared, give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. That's 1-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And of course, we'd love to have your thoughts on this subject or something else you'd like to talk to as well. But what very, very few people understand is that if you read President George Herbert Walker Bush's speeches, or if you read the speeches of his son, George W. Bush, you'll see all sorts of references to the occult. And many times they use the code words of the occultists, but unless you understand the occult, you'll never pick them out. And unfortunately, most people have never been educated in this sort of thing. But when, for instance, you heard George Herbert Walker Bush refer to the fact that we were going to have a new world order. That term was not his. That term came from Alice Bailey. And who was Alice Bailey? Alice Bailey was a Luciferian. She was the disciple of Helena Petrovna Blavatsky, who wrote close to 25 books that were actually channeled to her by a demonic spirit named Joao Kuhl. And you go up on the internet and, of course, begin to research any of the things I'm telling you. Alice Bailey wrote some 25 or 26 books, and in those books she talked about the New World Order. George Herbert Walker Bush talked about the idea of 1,000 points of light. But that wasn't his idea. Those were the concepts that came from Alice Bailey, of these ideas of the points of light are certainly an occult term. And of course, the whole purpose, if you read Masonry, everyone is searching for the light, the light, the light. And what is the light? The light is, of course, the light of Lucifer. Lucifer is the light bearer, and he is the standard who will bring about this new world order. Am I suggesting that George Herbert Walker Bush was into Luciferianism? But of course I am. If you ever studied the Skull and Bone Society, certainly not George Herbert Walker Bush, his father and his son are all members of this. And if you want to see the Luciferian initiation that is associated with that, you can go to William H. Kennedy's website, williamhkennedy.com, and you can get the film clips of the initiation ceremony that they have for Skull and Bones. Somebody had actually risked their life and gotten up there with a video camera, and you'll see them bowing, of course, before Lucifer. You'll see them getting into the coffin, where, of course, they take their initiation, which is really very, very similar to the initiation process that they use in ancient Egypt, where people would simply lay in the sarcophagus, and then, of course, they would begin to have this out-of-body experience. And certainly we did an interview this afternoon with a gentleman from the Gnostic Templars who leads the Gnostic Templar movement in America. A very interesting experience he talked about when he laid in the sarcophagus. And then the bottom fell out and he began to fly. Now, of course, this is all a mental gymnastics, but these are the outer body experiences. You begin to tap into the other dimension. And that is, of course, what they're doing. So if you read, of course, George W. Bush's speeches, you'll find he talks about, he concludes his first inaugural speech. You can go up on the internet or and pull down whitehouse.gov and get his first inaugural speech, or his second, pardon me, his first inaugural speech. And he talks about a gentleman who is writing to Thomas Jefferson and saying, you know, certainly we know that the race is not to the fleet or the battle to the strong. Do you not believe that an angel rides in a whirlwind and directs this storm? Now, this is the second to the last paragraph. And then President Bush goes on to say, you know, a great deal of time has passed since Thomas Jefferson had written the Declaration of Independence, but he would well recognize the struggle that we're involved in today. For indeed, the angel does still ride in the whirlwind and direct this storm. And I dare say that there were probably 50 or 75 million Americans who heard the speech and had no idea what he was talking about. Who is the angel who rides in the whirlwind and directs this storm? This is esoteric thought, and of course, those people who are associated with the secret societies would understand this, but the average American would have no knowledge, and we cover that in our new DVD entitled Forbidden Secret. That's a forbidden secret, and we go into the background of President Bush's speech where he talks about the fire in the minds of men, where he talks about the when our founding fathers declared a new order of the ages, they were acting on an ancient hope that is meant to be fulfilled. He is concluding his second inaugural speech. What's this new order of the ages that our founding fathers created, and what's the ancient hope that is meant to be fulfilled? Why, of course, if you go up on the internet and you look up the phrase new order of the ages, what is it? Why, it is the refers to Novus Ordo Seclorum, the occult emblem on the back of the dollar bill. But now, if one in the 50 or 70 million people who heard President Bush's second inaugural address had any idea what he was talking about. Well, let's go to Jeff, who's calling us from Denver. And again, our regularly scheduled guest is not here, so it's going to be open lines for 2 hour. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And we've got Jeff calling from Denver. Hi, Jeff. How are you doing? Jeff, are you there?
I am here. How are you doing?
I'm doing just fine.
Hey, I've got a kind of an off-the-wall question for you. Have you ever in your life stepped away? But before you got into radio and before you became educated as to all the things that you talk about on your program, did you ever have friends and then you met them again sometime later after you started your radio show and they looked at you like you were completely mad? Have you ever had that experience?
No, I really haven't. But then I don't see many of my old friends anymore. We travel in different circles. In fact, I'll tell you what many of my people have said. They said, well, you know, we used to think he was crazy, but now we're afraid he's not.
Well, that's a good sign.
And I think that at least some people are beginning to recognize what's going on. Hey, you hang on there, and we'll talk to you right after that we get through this break. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Jeff calling from Denver, and our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. That's 1-888.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets, a little protects your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency, and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Teary. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Tell him the story of Dr. Blinder. That's really his name. His name is B-L-I-N-D-E-R, Professor Alan S. Blinder. An article in the Wall Street Journal, I think it was 27th or 28th of March. You can pull it down. Fascinating. In fact, there's an interview with Dr. Blinder, who has suddenly changed his position on globalism. He still isn't necessarily in favor of tariffs, but he's very, very concerned about the fact that we're going to end up with 40 or 50 million Americans with no jobs and no possibility of getting a job, because there's very few jobs we have here that cannot be done in other countries equally well at a much lower level of payment. So basically Dr. Blinder has been coming out and talking about this, and of course people are saying, why globalism is the answer, and he says, no, it's not the answer. Think of the implications. And on this, you can actually see the interview up on the Wall Street Journal page there, where the article is reproduced. And this one Wall Street Journal reporter says to him, Professor Blinder, why did you change your position? And he said, because I began to think, after reading articles on the internet and seeing what people were saying, I suddenly realized this position I've been taking was wrong. And now he still isn't ready to come and say we have to have tariffs again. But he began to think after reading things on the Internet, and our hope has to be that people begin reading things on the Internet and begin thinking. So, I mean, there's a lot to be thankful about.
Yeah, that is true. You know, hey, one last question, then I'll let you go. You didn't happen to catch Rosie O'Donnell's, I guess, 9 or 10 minute oratory on her show about 9/11, did you?
Yes, I did. I saw parts of that, and I really was. I don't like Rosie O'Donnell, but I will have to admit that I was very, very proud of her for saying what she did about not only about 9/11, but you know, the coming war with Iran. And I thought that you know, there's hope for Rosie.
Yeah, I'm willing. You know, I never thought I'd see somebody like that say something like that. But it's good to. I'll take anybody on our side, anybody anywhere, including her. So I think she did a good job.
Well, Jeff, you know, this is a crazy world we live in, because I find that many of the people I agree with most today are the far left, and I disagree with them on the moral issues. I disagree with them on the abortion issue, but certainly as far as the war is concerned. You know, as far as 9/11, I think they're right on. And they're questioning what we are being told. And the great tragedy is so many of the good Christians, who I ordinarily would identify with, are supporting the president. They're supporting torture. They will accept, you know, what happened on 9/11, because, after all, the president is a born-again Christian, and we have to trust him. And lastly, of course, that you know, if we don't kill those Muslims, they're going to come over here and kill us.
And looks like Rosie's got guts, but guts is enough.
Well, I'll tell you, part of the exchange, I don't know if you saw the one exchange, and this is when she was talking about the Iran and going to war with Iran, and she had three other girls there, women there, and they were all yelling and screaming, and Rosie looked at this one, and she said, this girl said, it looks like you have more confidence in our enemies, in the Iranians, than you have in our president. And Rosie looked at her and said, tell me, do you really trust George Bush as much today as you did when he was elected? And this woman just sat there, stunned. She couldn't say anything. And then Rosie began to say, look, most of his administration is under investigation. Karl Rove, Dick Cheney, Scooter Libby, Gonzalez, you know, these are all under investigation, or they will soon be under indictment for lying. I mean, how can you trust this government?
And that sounds like a really good interview. I'm going to check it out. But have a good night, Dr. Stan. You are working hard out there. I appreciate it.
God bless you, and thanks very much for calling. Okay, well, that was Jeff calling from Denver, and, of course, we're looking forward to your call. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And we're hoping to have Chris back here at the hour. As soon as Chris comes on, we'll put him on, and we'll have a good second hour with Chris Pinto, who can discuss his videos and his DVDs far better than I can. So give us a call, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. We'll look forward to hearing from you, and we'll get through this next half hour, and of course then we'll get to Chris during the second hour of the program. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming here from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. And of course, we're open lines this evening for the first hour anyway. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And we were telling you, of course, the story of the secret societies that had really been here in the United States going back to the time shortly after the Pilgrims landed. The Pilgrims, what was it, 1620, and certainly by 1640, 1650, the Rosicrucians were here, spreading their demonic message. Certainly Harvard, I think, was created about 1640. Harvard University was built with the idea that it would be utilized to train ministers to preach God's word. Well, by 1740, Harvard had been completely taken over by the people who were there not to preach God's words, but to undermine God's word and the validity of the scriptures. And so they organized Yale University, and it wasn't long before they destroyed that. And then they organized Princeton University, and it wasn't long before they destroyed that. And these people will destroy anything if they can, because they have an intense hatred of Christianity. And when you understand that, you can understand so much of what's going on today. This is why, of course, they will not allow prayer or mention of God or the Ten Commandments in our schools, because these people are part of a satanic conspiracy. And until you understand that, people always want to tell you, oh, it's the Jews who are behind this, and they're the ones who are behind this. There's certainly some Jews who are part of the satanic conspiracy, but it is not a Jewish conspiracy at all. They push the Jews out in front to confuse you. They have ADL and B'nai B'rith and doing all these bad things. But there are an awful lot of Jews, actually, who recognize that America, Christian America, has given them an opportunity to have freedom and prosper like the Jews really haven't done in many centuries. And they recognize it's because we are a Christian nation. We are a tolerant nation. And we respect the ability of Jews who, you know, who believe in the God of the Old Testament, and we disagree with their interpretation of scriptures, but they have a right to believe as they will in a free society. But they're not out there trying to destroy Christianity. It is the people who adhere to the demonic message that are doing that. And until we recognize that we're involved in a spiritual battle, and there really are satanic forces and satanic secret societies, when nothing will change. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and we're going to have open lines until 9 o'clock, and then we'll get Chris on. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And let's go to Jack, who's calling from Michigan. Hi, Jack. Do you have a question or comment?
Yeah, Dr. Stan, a comment. I called the J. Seculo American Center for Law and Justice program today. He's the fellow who said that Judge Roy Moore should obey the law and take the statue of the Ten Commandments down. That was, what, three, four years ago, whatever.
All right. I know that's Jay Sekulow's position. I disagree with him very strongly.
Yeah. Well, so I called because they were talking about the Bill of Rights and defending all that. And so, yeah, in the context of a lady medical school student who has a group, a pro-life group at the medical school. So I called to state that why doesn't Jay Sekulow, since he's an attorney, he must know that the president could issue an executive order and overturn Roe v. Wade. He could end government-funded abortion tomorrow with an executive order. And in fact, Congress could tell him if he didn't do this, they would withdraw his executive order privilege because it is a congressionally granted privilege. And the woman hung up on me.
Oh, I'm sure. They see, this is not a very, very popular message. And the reason it is because we're supposed to believe that the current administration is pro-life.
Yeah,
yet they've been
said.
In power. Therefore, you know, they've controlled both houses of Congress and the presidency for 6 years, going in there in the seventh year now. And they have done absolutely nothing other than increase funding for Planned Parenthood, you know, support, you know, pro-abortion movements throughout the world. They say one thing, and then they do the other, and the average American never understands what's going on. In fact, in one instance, why President Bush got tremendous, press with the conservative Christians by taking money away from one international group that was funding abortion. But what nobody ever told the American people is he gave it to another international group that was funding abortion. So he took it away from one group and gave it to another one, and the average person has no idea. Certainly, the Congress could negate Roe versus Wade simply by passing legislation with majority. You don't need a supermajority. You don't need two-thirds. With a simple majority, and then invoking Article 3, Section 2 of the Constitution, saying the courts cannot have anything to do with this legislation. The congressional leaders know that. The president knows that. And they haven't done it because they're not pro-life at all. Look, Barbara Bush, Laura Bush, they're all pro-choice. I mean, how can your life be, your wife be, pro-choice and you be pro-life? And the same thing is true with Barbara Bush. But let me understand that the Bush family has always been pro-abortion.
Mm-hmm.
But they play a game and they pretend to be pro-life. In fact, George Bush was strongly pro-abortion until he ran for the vice presidency back in 1980, resigned from the Trilateral Commission, resigned from his the Bilderbergers, or at least didn't go to the Bilderbergers after that, and resigned from the Council on Foreign Relations. But he belonged to all of those organizations, and all of these organizations are founded in the occult.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, here's a man who has actually been involved with the CIA all of his life, and the Bush family has been involved in drugs. In fact, it was George Herbert Walker Bush's father, Prescott Bush, who was actually indicted and charged with treason during the Second World War because his firm, Brown Brothers and Harriman, was trading with the enemy. But we never talk about that. Isn't that fascinating?
That, Dr. Stan, is that that's probably covered in one of your books, isn't it?
No, it's covered in my book. It's covered in a number of other sources, though. And if you need the documentation, you can pull it down off the Internet, or if you want it, I can get it for you. But this is well known. We have this in a number of sources, so I'm sure it is a valid statement.
Right, I'm sure it is. And furthermore, as you said, the Constitution Party from last week, they're probably well knowledgeable about the Article 3, Section 2. As you mentioned, Congress could invoke that and prevent the courts from overruling them, couldn't they?
They certainly could. But the thing is, because I certainly think the Constitution Party was organized and they're trying to do a good job, but they've been infiltrated, and everything is being done to create discord there, because they don't want you to have an alternative to the one-party system that exists today. The last thing the establishment wants is for the people to have a real choice between, of course, Tweedledum and Tweedledee. The last thing they want is for the American people to have an opportunity to vote for somebody who believes in the Constitution. So they've infiltrated all of our conservative organizations and all of our religious organizations, and they've just, we look around for our leadership, and it just isn't there.
Well, what's the solution?
Stay the course.
Yeah.
And that's all we can do.
Yep.
Bring out the truth. And, of course, things are going to have to get a lot worse before the American people are going to begin to get out of their lethargy and begin looking at what's going on and value freedom. What comes too easily, we value too little. And this is the tragedy. Americans take freedom for granted because they never lived without it. But I fear that the time is coming, and very soon, when freedom as we know it will simply become a remembrance of things past, and we will move into tremendous oppression and suffering. And at that point, people are going to say, God save us. But, you know, they're going to quote the Chronicles 7:14, 2 Chronicles 7:14. But it says, if my people who are known by my name will seek my face and turn from the wicked ways, will humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways. But nobody wants to turn from their wicked ways. They just want to say, humble themselves and pray, and seek my face. Then I will hear them from heaven, will forgive their sin, and heal their land.
Mm-hmm.
You got to turn from your wicked ways. Okay. Do you see anybody wants to turn from their wicked ways today? Being wicked is just too much fun.
Too much fun following the status quo.
Amen to that. Well, Jack, our job, I believe I'm called to do what I'm doing,
yeah,
to reach as many people I can in the allotted time, and it's God's battle. My job is simply to be here as a spokesman.
God bless you, Dr. Stan, and as I say, I tell everyone I can every day about your show.
God bless you. I think we're getting a growing number of people up there in Michigan who are listening. I'll tell you what, there in Detroit, they sure ought to be listening because everything I hear is Detroit's going from bad to worse.
Well, indeed. Indeed it is. So all we can do, as you say, is keep up the preaching and the teaching.
Amen to that. God bless. Thanks so much for calling.
Night.
Okay, fine. Good night. And that was Jack calling from Michigan. And again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And somebody asked about Al Gore and, let's see, and oil. I'm not quite sure what that is all about, other than the fact that, of course, Al Gore comes from an oil family. His family was very, very close to the fellow who had Occidental Petroleum. And Occidental Petroleum was run by a man named Armin Hammer, and Al Gore's dad was very close, and they had a lot of Occidental Petroleum stock. And the Gore family really, of course, came from Armin Hammer, who many people believe was a communist agent. He really wasn't. He was very, very close to the communists, but you have to understand that the world communist movement has always been run and financed from the United States, as it is still today. There's no question in my mind at all. In fact, we have a recent congressional research report pointing out how since 1992, all the billions of dollars we funneled into the Soviet Union and the American corporations are developing the Russian oil fields and the Russian refineries and the Russian natural gas fields and building the massive pipelines that have made Europe totally dependent on the Soviet Union. Now, why would you do something like that? Why? Because Russia has never been the enemy. Russia was created as an enemy, at least to give the impression it was an enemy, but it has always been financed right here in the United States. Why? Because there's satanic forces at work in Russia, and those same satanic forces are at work right here in the United States. Now, a caller asked, what about Al Gore and oil and current investments that are not green? I'm not quite sure. I wish the caller had come on the air. Incidentally, we would love to hear from you. If our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Well, I certainly would not want to be involved in any green investments. I think that the price of oil is going to continue going up, and I believe that this whole thing of global warming is a scam. Certainly, there's no question we have global warming, number one. We're going through a warming cycle, as we have repeatedly over the last 6,000 years. Number two, CO2 makes up less than 3% of the greenhouse gases. And CO2 is great for you. In fact, if you have CO2, why, the plants grow better, the trees grow better, and of course, basically the CO2 is taken out of the air by trees. So trees are an essential part of and CO2 is essential to grow, in fact, to the growth of flowers, and really everything. So this idea that we have to do something about global warming is a fraud. I mean, if we did everything that they're suggesting, we would destroy our economy, we would impoverish our people. But we would not change the course of global warming because it's related to the sun. And I simply ask two questions when these issues come up. Number one is, why do they call Greenland green? And you call Greenland because 1,000 years ago it was green. And, of course, it is becoming green again along the edges. Just as it was at the time when Leif Erikson was there, but they actually had to take away their settlements about 1400 because, of course, they were in a cooling phase. And then the other question I like to ask is, why are the polar ice caps melting on Mars? Is it because the Martians are driving too much and driving up the CO2? No, because of the sunspots. And the polar ice caps are melting on Mars. it's a fraud. It doesn't matter how ridiculous something is. If you say it often enough, people will believe. And so I would stay away from green investments. I'd probably stick with conventional investments for the time being, because I think oil is going to go through the roof. I think you're going to look back on gasoline at $3 or $4 a gallon as the good old days. Well, let's go to Dave, who's calling us from Wisconsin. Again, our telephone number 1-888-24-Liberty or 464-8295. Hi, Dave. You have a question or comment?
Yeah, I have a kind of a question, and I hope you'll forgive me, Dr. Stan. It's probably more for your guest coming up than it is probably for you. Maybe you're aware of it too. But have you ever been in downtown Indianapolis? They have a shrine to Diana down there that they call a war memorial to the veterans of the the fallen in the wars.
I really am not, but of course, Diana, you know, the Temple of Diana is over at Ephesus, and she is one of these goddess figures like Ishtar, I think it is, and Athena, and this is the whole idea of the goddess. And of course, you'll see very often on some of our state seals, you'll see one or another of the female gods. You'll see a lot of them in Washington, D.C., because, of course, Washington, D.C. is just full of Greek mythology, going back to these ancient gods, not to the Christian God, but the ancient gods that preceded the Christian era. And that's why Chris's DVD, Riddles in Stone, is really so important. I mean, he was able to get in with the camera into all sorts of places nobody's gotten to before. And he'll tell you the story of how God intervened and got him in there. It's the most amazing story you've ever heard. And hopefully he'll be with us for next hour.
The thing is, in this downtown Indianapolis, they actually have a temple that looks very similar to the one at Ephesus. They have a statue of Pan. They have they actually have the whole story of Diana, where she warred with the other gods. A big fountain where they have, I believe it's Poseidon or Neptune. I'm not sure which one it is now, because it's been quite a while since I've been down there. But they talk about how the men sacrificed their lives in this little brochure that they give out, and you really wonder about what they mean by sacrifice. And they also talk about how to finish this war memorial, they had to demolish 3 churches. it's kind of interesting, and they have a gold tip obelisk and a number of other things, when you see it, you realize it's not a war memorial.
The interesting thing is, most people have no idea what these things are all about. It's only when you've studied and when you've read some of the esoteric material we have and interviewed some of the people that we have and seen Chris's DVDs, and he actually has one called Megiddo 1, another one called Megiddo 2, and then, of course, The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning and Riddles in Stone. Once you begin to actually analyze what's going on, you realize that these occult, certainly statues and architecture, they're every place. In Washington, D.C. today, our nation's capital, there are, I think, 23 zodiacs, complete signs of the zodiac, and over 1,000 replicas from the zodiac. Why do we have all these things related to astrology in our nation's capital? Why? Because, of course, the founders of this country were steeped in astrology and divination and mediumship and all of these occult practices that contact the other dimension.
Yeah, it's really amazing when your eyes have been opened to something.
It really is, when you suddenly say, why can't everybody see it?
Yeah, and it's like I've been told the state Indiana is actually meant to be in Diana.
I don't know, but...
And I don't know whether that's true or not either, but I've heard that.
Well, we are involved in a spiritual battle, and this is the message we must get out. Anything else, Dave, before
no,
we
that, No, that was all, and so I was just, I'm kind of looking forward to your guest.
Well, I'm looking forward to him, too. God bless. Thanks so much.
Okay, well, thank you, Dr. Stan,
bye-bye.
For all your work.
Okay, we've got Susan calling from Santa Cruz. Susan, are you there?
Yes.
All right, you hang on, and we'll take you here just as soon as we get back from this break. And, of course, this has been Open Lines. Hopefully we're going to have Chris for the next hour. Otherwise, we're going to have the longest open lines we've ever had, 2 hours. But I think Chris will be with us the second hour. So hang on there. We'll be right back. Susan, go right ahead. Did you have a question or comment?
Yes. I was trying to explain to a gentleman today about global warming. He was very concerned about it, and I was trying to explain to him that there's something fishy about Al Gore being against global warming if his family made money, so much money from investments in oil.
And not only that, but he's got a 10,000-square-foot mansion. He uses more energy in that mansion in one month than most people use it the whole year round. So it's all hypocrisy.
Well, that's what I didn't know, how to tell him what his present-day investments are, if they're still in oil, or...
We really don't know, but certainly he's... The whole purpose behind this global warming scam, first of all, there is global warming, but there's no evidence it comes because of human activity, because carbon dioxide only makes up 3% of the greenhouse gases, something about a little over 1% of the actual gas in the atmosphere. So
right.
This is not a factor.
Yeah.
But what this is all about is an attack on the industrial structure of our society. And what it is, if we were to sign the Kyoto Protocol, we'd have to cut back about 80 or 90% on our energy use, and we would have to simply give up our air conditioning, give up our cars, give up our electric heat. We would have to give up heat in the winter and cool in the summer. And the whole idea is an attack on on modern-day society. This is really laid out in the Global Biodiversity Assessment report that came out from the Second Earth Summit, and is summarized in our syllabus called the Sustainable Development Syllabus.
Uh-huh.
So really, of course, what you need to understand is that this has nothing to do with global warming. It's an effort to destroy America, because if they were really concerned about global warming, they would apply it, of course, the Kyoto Protocol to India and Japan and to China, and neither one are covered. So
exactly.
But it's all about the destruction of America. But if they told the American people that, they would be never go along with it any more than the American people would ever gone along with deregulation of electricity if they told them our real purpose is to raise the price of electricity so you're going to be forced to conserve.
Well, he's one of many people that I tell about your website. So the word is getting out, and I told him that about the highway that's being built from Mexico. He had no idea of that, and sending business overseas, he wasn't concerned about that. And so I think he's much enlightened, and he will be tuning into your radio show.
I sure hope so. Anyway, thank you very much. Susan, that's all we can do is just keep trying to get people educated.
That's right. Thanks for your work. God bless.
God bless you too. Okay. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and this is the time when I need to remind all of our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and if you agree with me that we're involved in a spiritual battle, being fought on a political, ideological, and cultural battlefield, that most of the information you're getting from the media is just not true, and of course if you want to know who controls the media, there's a wonderful book written by Professor Ben Bagdakian, who's a liberal college professor from Berkeley. It's called The New Media Monopoly, and I think it's the 2003 or 2004 edition, but nothing as much has changed since then. I mean, 90 to 95% of all the major media controlled by five major corporations, and of course they play games. They pretend they're giving you different positions, but it's all basically the same position, and you will never hear a lot of the things that we talk about there, or the same guests that we talk about, and you're never going to see people are going to tell you the truth on television. In fact, one time I was actually asked to be on a nationwide television program discussing the AIDS epidemic. It was the Jane Whitney program. You probably have never heard of Jane Whitney, but at that time, she was a national phenomenon. And shortly after she had the courage to put me on, the Jane Whitney show was canceled, and she's never been on again. And believe me, if you don't think that this sort of thing happens, Dick Gregory, for instance, after the Kennedy assassination, he was a well-known comedian. He came out and he said, "I don't think the government's telling you the truth." And he became a non-person. Very, very popular before he made a statement of truth. And of course, after that, why, you've never heard of Dick Gregory again. Destroyed his career. All you need to do is make one little mistake. A friend of ours, Steve Voss, came out with a song called "Let's Take America Back." It was a wonderful song, and he had a contract. He was going on a nationwide a tour with "Let's Take America Back," and just before they were to start the tour, he was called in and told they would pay him off. They would pay him for the song. They would pay him for the tour. But he wasn't going to sing, he wasn't going to get on radio stations, and of course he's never been able to get another job in music other than, you know, just very menial jobs. But they set out to destroy him. And why? Because this was really the sort of rallying a song that wonderful tempo, wonderful wording, wonderful message, and that's not what the establishment wants. You see, if you understand that we are governed, our minds are molded, our tastes formed, our ideas suggested largely by men we have never heard of. That was the message, actually it's exact quotation from a book called Propaganda, written by Edward Bernays, who was Sigmund Freud's nephew, back in 1928. We are governed, our minds are molded, our tastes formed, our ideas suggested largely by men we have never heard of. He understood that. He had a contract with Lucky Strike to get women to smoke cigarettes. And when he started, cancer of the lung was almost unknown in women. And by the time he got done, cancer of the lung was the second most popular, most prominent cancer in women. Edward Bernays was very, very successful. So understand we're involved in against really evil and wicked people. Understand they have an agenda, they know how to manipulate us. Our job is to get people to think, and of course you go to our website at RadioLiberty.com, that's RadioLiberty.com. If you want documentation on the things we say, well, we'll do our best to get them for you. And of course we hope many of you out there will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters. Let me suggest, as a great source of information, my DVDs, the Brotherhood of Darkness, and the latest one, Forbidden Secret, and of course then Pinto's DVDs, The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning, and Riddles in Stone, and we'll be talking about that. If you'd like more information, our number 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America is at war. America, our future, our families, our freedom, are under attack today. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Christian civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion and delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views and, well, the views of our guests today, well, this evening. We're going to have Chris Pinto. Hi, Chris. How are you doing?
Pretty good, Dr. Stan. How are you, sir?
Oh, I'm doing just fine. I'm awfully glad to hear your voice, so I'll tell you. Anyway, fine. Of course, Chris has done two DVDs recently. He's got others, Megiddo 1, Megiddo 2, very important. But The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginnings was certainly an award-winning film. Yes, last year it won the best documentary. Was that the New York Film Festival?
Yeah, we won best documentary feature in New York, and then we won best historical documentary in Los Angeles.
Okay, fine. Well, now, of course, his second DVD, Riddles in Stone, and a lot of people think it's even better. It's really, in many ways, very different, because it's covering, at least in part, a different story. But here you're going to see many of the leading Masons talking about Masonry. You're going to see the head of the Philosophical Research Institute in Southern California, which, of course, is run by a gentleman now who succeeded Manly P. Hall as the director there, talking about this esoteric belief of bringing about this world government under democracy, this elusive dream that motivates the people who worship a different god. So I'm going to let Chris, you go ahead and tell us what you learned and why people should get this DVD.
Well, I think the great thing about Volume 2 on this versus Volume 1, well, I think Volume 1's got a lot of powerful information in it. And we cover, of course, the history of Sir Francis Bacon and how he inspired and sent secret societies through Freemasonry and Rosicrucianism to America to launch his concept of the New Atlantis, America as literally the lost empire of old Atlantis, and it was to be rebuilt and to be a launching pad for this philosophic commonwealth that would eventually extend to all the world. Well, in Volume 2 now, Riddles in Stone, we see that philosophy, and really the philosophy of these esoteric occult societies, secret societies, their philosophy carved in the stonework, in the masonry, the buildings, and the street layout of Washington, D.C. And because I think Volume 2 is so visual, and we can now, not just showing you history that happened hundreds of years ago, but now we can very visually demonstrate the argument with a lot of the exterior carvings and buildings and statues and so on, but also, thank the Lord, we're able to get inside a number of the buildings, inside the U.S. Capitol, inside the Senate, House of Representatives, the Library of Congress. Thankfully, by the grace of God, we obtained permission to go in there with a camera and shoot a lot of really powerful footage that shows very clearly, inside and out, what the occult architecture of Washington, D.C. is all about.
And I think that, see, there is a very conscious effort to confuse the American people, to make people believe that America was founded as a Christian nation. Yes, there was a strong Christian influence here. And the majority of the founders were Christian, but some of the key ones, were deeply involved in the occult. And they then, of course, hiding behind the scenes, because the word occult means hidden, were able, of course, to leave their message for future generations. And we're just fortunate that Chris was able to photograph it and show you what message they left. So you picked the story up there, Chris.
Well, it was we had just a really blessed opportunity with a Christian brother in Washington, D.C., a guy named Tony, who works with the U.S. Capitol Police. And we had gone there for about a week and had filmed outside a lot of the buildings and the tympanums, where you've got the different images of gods and goddesses carved and so on, and it's seen a lot of the monuments and the Washington Monument, of course, and things like that. But after we had wrapped up our interviews and I was getting ready to go into editing and put this thing together, we got a call from a guy there in Washington, D.C., this guy, Tony, and he had been following our progress online, and he said, have you guys been able to get inside any of the buildings? And, you know, we said no. And so he said, well, what if I could get you inside some of these buildings, because you really have to see what's going on, because he works there every day, and he's a Christian. And I think his conviction really piqued our curiosity. But I had, you know, I'd never been inside the U.S. Capitol, had only seen some images of it. But going there, as soon as you walk inside the Capitol building and you start seeing all the inner chambers and everything, it's almost like the Apostle Paul, if you read the book of Acts, when Paul goes into Athens and the scripture says that he could see that the entire city was wholly given over to idolatry. It's very much that way when you go inside these buildings there, official government buildings. The U.S. Capitol, the same is even more true of the Library of Congress. The whole thing is just a very pagan, esoteric wonderland of colors and imagery and statues and carvings and all this other kind of stuff. But the curious question that we began with in Volume 1 and we bring into Volume 2, as you said, Dr. Stan, if America was founded as a Christian nation, where are the images of Jesus Christ? Where are the images of the apostles? Where are the images of the Last Supper or Christ feeding the 5,000 or the resurrection or really anything having to do with the gospel? And the truth of it is, inside and out in Washington, D.C., there is no representation of the gospel. It's just not there. The only thing that comes close is a carving of Moses that you find on the tympanum on, I think it's the eastern side of the Supreme Court building, where Moses is seen holding the Ten Commandments.
Hold that thought, and we're going to be back here in just a moment with Chris Pinto. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Of course, Chris had gone back and taken all sorts of pictures and was ready to begin actually putting his film together. He had some wonderful film footage with leading occultists and with Masonic leaders, and he simply let them talk, didn't debate them, let them put their points over. And, of course, the more they talked, why, the more they reveal of the esoteric and occult foundation of our country. But then, of course, just before he was ready to go into full-time production, a Christian who works with the police service there in Washington, D.C., called them and said, you know, would you like to get into these buildings? Because you can't understand what's going on. Should he get into the buildings? And Chris and David Bay, or did David go with you?
No, he didn't go on that trip. He went on the first trip.
All right. Well, anyway, Chris went back, and of course, got a chance to go into the buildings, the Capitol building, the Library of Congress, and what you see is all this reference to the Greek gods. What you see is all this reference to people like Francis Bacon. They have his statue in the Library of Congress, but they don't have a statue of Jesus Christ there. And of course, as you get into the background, you find all these pictures from the zodiacs. What are replicas of the zodiacs doing in the capital of a Christian nation? And, of course, the thing is that they hide their symbols in plain sight. They do this intentionally. You read Manly P. Hall, he will tell you. We hide our symbols in plain sight for future generations to see. But most people don't see them. Well, you see Chris's video, a DVD, and as he points it out to you, you'll understand. And you'll begin to understand this secret that's been kept from the American people about the occult architecture of our nation's capital. And really, of course, this foreshadows America's wars, which are being carried out in the Middle East today, the expansion of war coming with Iran, America dominating the entire world and bringing the whole world into this one world order under the new one world ruler, who certainly is not our Lord Jesus Christ. So you pick up the story there, Chris.
Well, that's really what, you know, what ultimately we found carved in the stonework of Washington, D.C., is the the esoteric concept of alchemy, as it were. And this, to me, I thought was really fascinating when I was doing the research and was talking to some of these esoterics and getting their definitions of alchemy. But alchemy, essentially, it's the concept we know in fables of turning lead to gold. Well, to the esoteric, the occultist, they believe that, you know, the lead, the base metal that needs to be turned into gold is a human being, a man. Okay? So the journey to perfection, to becoming a perfected being, a perfected man, is that journey of going from lead to gold. And that is alchemy. Now, the way that they explain it is the idea that what really happened in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve was not the fall of man because sin came into the world and so on, but what it was the dividing of the human soul into two compartments, the male and the female. And that in order for a person to achieve perfection, these two sides, the masculine and the feminine, must be reconciled to one another. And when they are reconciled within each human being, that person will achieve a perfected state. Okay? And they believe that this is something, you know, in psychology, you hear somebody talking about how you need to get in touch with your feminine side and this sort of thing. Well, that's a kind of a base reference to this alchemical process. And this is something written about by Manly P. Hall. You know, he has a picture in his book, The Secret Teachings of All Ages, where he's got this, you know, this sage sitting at a table, and he's got like a beaker, and inside the beaker is a glowing stone, the philosopher's stone, and there's a man on one side and a woman on the other. And the stone represents the perfected state, achieving this perfected state. Well, this becomes very important to understanding Washington, D.C., because all over the city you find this representation of the male and the female in this alchemical formula. And you'll find male and female countering each other throughout the city, and then at different points, for example, in front of you know, the National Archives building, you'll have a tympanum, right, which is the pediment at the top of the building where you see a big triangle, and usually sitting on a throne of some kind, there'll be a figure, often a man, and then down below, on one side of the building, there'll be a man image, and then on the other side, there's a female. And it represents this formula. You know, the male plus the female unified equal the perfected man that's in the center. And one of the examples that we show in the film is the James Buchanan Monument. Buchanan was, you know, obviously an American president, but he was also a Freemason. And in the Buchanan Monument we show, you've got Buchanan sitting in the middle, you have a man on one side and a female on the other. This is also represented in the Pythagorean theorem. And Pythagorean philosophy permeates the whole city, and really the centerpiece for the city is the federal triangle. This according to David Ovison, but I think it's really obvious that he's right, because federal triangle is this right triangle near the center of the city, and it represents the Pythagorean theorem, which is basically that the two squared sides of a right triangle, a squared plus b squared, equals the third side, the hypotenuse, the longest side. So a squared plus b squared equals c squared. Well, to the occultist, a squared represents the masculine principle, the father principle. B squared represents the female, and then c squared represents the hypotenuse, their offspring, which is the symbol of the perfected man or the Masonic Christ. And these symbols are very important in Freemasonry. They're not as dominantly recognized as, say, the square and the compass and other symbols that people will point to. But if you research Masonic symbolism, Masonic writers talk about these symbols as being some of the deepest and most important symbols of Freemasonry. And I've even found some quotes where, you know, the Masonic authors are saying this is probably at the very core of all Masonry. And Manly Hall certainly alludes to that in his own writings, especially in The Secret Teachings of All Ages. Well, it's this concept of achieving perfection. And in the occult, we know that you've got, you know, two real stages of perfection. One, there's this idea that through knowledge, as the serpent says to Adam and Eve in the garden, your eyes shall be opened and you shall become as gods. This is this New Age journey into godhood that permeates all occult doctrine. But with that, there is the belief that this process of perfection will ultimately bring forth a single man that you talked about here earlier, Dr. Stan, the one world ruler, the Masonic Christ or the New Age Christ. And that's really what I think is the overarching message in Washington, D.C., and we show that in the film. And that is the federal triangle where you've got, you know, the two sides of this right triangle, but the hypotenuse is Pennsylvania Avenue, which represents that perfected being. And, of course, Pennsylvania Avenue is probably the most famous avenue. That's where you find the White House. That's Pennsylvania Avenue, looks right down at the U.S. Capitol. And on the National Archives building there, in the midst of Pennsylvania Avenue, overlooking Pennsylvania Avenue, is this figure of a man sitting on a throne with six stars above his head, and he's staring out as though he is, I mean, we think he symbolizes the kind of the ruler of the New World Order, as it were, a perfected being, but the man, the figure, is called Destiny, according to the National Archives building. And what's interesting about his name, Destiny, is that during that same era that the National Archives building was being built, this is the era of FDR, Franklin Roosevelt. It's also the era of Manly P. Hall founding the Philosophic Research Society in 1934. In 1935, FDR puts the Great Seal on the back of the dollar bill. When we get into Volume 3 in the series, which is called Eye of the Phoenix, The Secrets of the Dollar Bill, we're going to talk a lot more about this era and what was going on. But the word destiny was a very, very important key word to the esoterics surrounding Franklin Roosevelt during that time. And so the National Archives building is built during his time. Roosevelt is talking about how America has a rendezvous with destiny. Okay, he uses that word. Roosevelt goes to the Philosophical Research Society, and he's microfishing all of Manly P. Hall's research because he wants to preserve it as a national treasure. This is something else we talk about. And then you've got Manly Hall, who's writing books. He's got America's Secret Destiny, or The Secret Destiny of America, rather. And then he's got another book called America's Assignment with Destiny. And there's all of this dialogue coming from Hall and other esoterics during this time about this destiny that America has, really, to launch and carry out this new order of the ages. And, you know, there's been a lot of debate over the symbol on the dollar bill, the all-seeing eye, floating over a pyramid. There are some Christian leaders who will say, well, that's not really a Masonic symbol. But what they won't tell you is that FDR put that symbol on the dollar bill because he believed it was a Masonic symbol. That's why he put it there.
In fact, if anybody'd like to hear our interview with Professor Carol Quigley, Bill Clinton's mentor, he talks about that emblem on the back of the dollar bill and these crazy conservatives who say it's a symbol of the Illuminati. Why, he says that isn't a symbol of the Illuminati. It's been around for 6,000 years. And that's absolutely right. That's been around for 6,000 years. At least the triangle, the eye, the glorified eye, it is the symbol of the ancient mystery religion. So what's it doing on the back of the dollar bill? Chris, go ahead and pick up this story there, but I think it's so significant that Christian leaders will tell you that the emblem on the back of the dollar bill is a Christian emblem, and it is not a Christian emblem. It's an emblem of the ancient mystery religion. So why are Christian leaders misled? Why? Because they've been deceived, and if they can be deceived, then they can deceive the Christians to thinking that, that of course, that this is a wonderful emblem. It's a triangle that represents the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and it just is not true. I mean, you can get somebody to write it down, but this emblem has been known to the ancient mystery religions for thousands of years. So they are doing everything they can to deceive the Christians, to let them keep them from understanding the true nature of the battle we're engaged in. Go ahead, Chris.
Well, one of the things that that we uncover in Riddles and Stone is we've got an interview with a cipher expert, a guy named Buff Perry, who interestingly enough, Buff's an interesting guy. He's a professional cipher. He's an internationally recognized code breaker. The BBC credits him with decoding some famous monument there in England and whatnot. And he's actually the topic of a new documentary called Lapis Exilis that's getting ready to be released. But he's a very nice guy. He's not a Christian man, but he's a very nice man. And he's spent quite a few years apparently studying FDR and his whole, you know, circle of influence and the people who were surrounding him and so on. And he believes that FDR, and there is a lot of evidence to this, saw his whole New Deal program, that the Novus Ordo Seclorum could be translated New Deal as easily as New Order of the Ages, that it essentially refers to the same thing, and that and there is documentation that FDR and Henry Wallace, who became his vice president, saw the New Order of the Ages and the New Deal as one and the same ambition, which becomes very, very interesting, especially when you study a guy named Nicholas Rorick, who was very close to Henry Wallace. And Rorick was a Russian mystic. The guy was a Rosicrucian, deeply involved in the occult. He was a member of the Theosophical Society, and he was going on these international missions, some of which was financed by Henry Wallace. But going on these international missions, doing things that seemed kind of official, but from what I've been able to gather so far from at least two different independent sources, what he was really doing was going to different parts of the world and searching for evidence of the Christ, okay? The New Age Christ. He believed that the New Age Christ was getting ready to emerge onto the world scene. And lead the world into this, you know, golden era, this new world order. And so he was looking for signs and symbols of this happening. Now, this is a guy who it was uncovered by, you know, national magazines later on, was thought to be, there, you can go online, you can type in Nicholas Rorick, you can type in the guru letters, okay, and Nicholas Rorick and Henry Wallace. And what had happened was a series of letters were discovered between Nicholas Rorick and Henry Wallace, where it seemed from the writing of the letters that Rorick was a kind of guru to Henry Wallace.
And he was the vice president of the United States. Hold that. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan here. In fact, it's just really amazing. As Chris is pointing out, of course, that Nicholas Rorick, who is a Russian mystic, who was actually one of the inspirations for Colonel Edward Mandel House, was also the guru for Henry Wallace. Henry Wallace was the vice president of the United States for a time. Fortunately, he was not then reelected in 1944 because he would have ended up president rather than Harry Truman. But for one reason or another, why, of course, he wasn't chosen to run for the vice presidency again in 1944. But apparently there were a number of letters certainly from Henry Wallace to Nicholas Rorick, who was this mystic. Dear Guru letters. And so basically Guru was the term that Henry Wallace used for Nicholas Rorick, who was going and traveling throughout the world, supposedly on official business, but he was really looking for the Christ who was going to emerge to lead the world into this new world order. Now, this is back in the 1930s. The man, of course, when they see the Christ, they're not talking about Jesus Christ. They're really talking about the Antichrist. They were looking for is coming at that time. And, of course, again in 1982, later on, why many of his disciples, the disciples of the Antichrist, said that he was ready to appear. They even ran ads in many of our newspapers that the Christ is about to appear. Well, of course, now, 25 years later, after 1982, the year 2007, why, of course, they are firmly convinced he is, again, waiting in the wings to emerge. So pick the story up there, Chris.
Yeah, this it's really interesting to study this part of history. In fact, there's a book that chronicles some of this about Rorik called, the book is called Tournament of Shadows. And there's a whole chapter in there that deals with Rorik and his mystical influence and so on, and just some of the stuff that he was into during this era. And some of his research and so on was the inspiration for, I think, the book and movie Shangri-La, because he was into a lot of this Eastern mysticism and the whole idea of building utopia on Earth, which is really what the Maitreya, this New Age Antichrist figure, from the esoteric perspective, this is what they believe. They don't believe, from what I can see, that they're going to build a global disaster. They believe they're going to build paradise on Earth, and that the ruler of this glorious golden empire is going to be this New Age Christ figure. So this is what Rorik was into, and he's having this incredible influence on Henry Wallace, and you've got Manly P. Hall in the midst of all this with his research. And one of the things that we talk about, one of the things that was told to us by the current president of the Philosophical Research Society was that Dr. Obadiah Harris is his name. He revealed that Hall, when he was still a young man, was financed by a wealthy California baroness. And she just agreed that she would, you know, finance his research and give him money for whatever he needed. So he's going around to different parts of the world and so on and gathering these ancient books and ancient manuscripts and so on and conducting his research. One of the reason I think that's so important is because much of Hall's research was based on this whole concept about America and America having this secret destiny to lead the world into this philosophic empire. And I think what happened, and I'm still exploring it, was that FDR bought into this belief. In fact, David Ovison has his book on the secret architecture of our nation's capital, but he's got another book on the secrets of the U.S. dollar bill. And in that book, he talks about Manly Hall, what he believes is Manly Hall's influence over the number of stones that appear on the pyramid, the truncated pyramid, that it was Hall, he believes, he presents an argument, it was Manly Hall's influence that caused there to be 72 stones on the truncated pyramid on the back of the U.S. dollar bill, the one that's there right now, because Hall wrote about how the number 72 was this magical arcane number in the occult, and that was how many stones should be on this this truncated pyramid. And so he presents an argument suggesting that Hall was the real influence for the symbol on the back of the dollar bill. So you've got all of these esoterics, guys deeply involved in the occult, somehow or other reaching the highest levels of government during that time. I think it's fascinating. And they were all looking for a Christ, but like you said, Dr. Stan, not the Christ of the Bible.
Yeah, we're going to be back in just a moment here with Chris Pinto as we explore riddles in stone. Well, this is Dr. Stan. You go right ahead, Chris, and we'll pick the story up.
Well, just talking about Nicholas Rorik and all of these guys who were just deeply involved in esotericism and the whole concept of America having this secret destiny, and they seemed fully convicted that they were going to be instrumental in carrying it out and doing what they could to help bring forth this this Christ figure. It's very interesting that Nicholas Roerich was a member of the Theosophical Society, and the Theosophical Society during this era actually had picked out a guy that they thought was going to be the Christ, and his name was Krishnamurti, and he had all these followers for a while that were following him around, thinking that he was going to emerge on the world stage and become the one world ruler and so on. And at some point he backed out of it and said, no, I'm not the guy. But it's fascinating and interesting how many people are unaware that these things have been happening over the last 100 years. And we try to bring it up current. We try to show people that this thinking within occult societies that go all the way to the United Nations, that yes, they do have an influence in our government, all the way to the White House, and so on. And we tried to bring it up to date, and so we've got Benjamin Krem, who makes an appearance toward the latter part of the film. And, you know, when I was researching all this evidence on this Masonic and New Age concept of a Christ figure, I had remembered Benjamin Krem from back in 1982. I get online, and I start investigating Krem and his organization, Share International, and come to find out, right around the time I was looking into him, he was on his way to New York to give a speech at the United Nations to an NGO group, a non-governmental group there at the UN. But apparently he had been there before. So here you've got a guy going to the United Nations, which is full of all kinds of occult symbols. They have the meditation room there. And you can actually go to the UN website, read about the designing of the meditation room. It was totally an occult process right from the beginning. They don't make any bones about that. And yet when we see the United Nations on the news at night, it all just looks like this. Official government red tape stuff going on, and most people have no idea about the occult background.
Hold on, that would be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Chris is really talking about the occult foundation of the United Nations. The purpose of the United Nations is to bring about a one world government. Certainly there is now a United Nations army, that's NATO. There's United Nations Police Force, that's Interpol. There's United Nations Court and United Nations Criminal Court. Certainly there's all of the things. They have a legislature, but the General Assembly. There's an executive. They have the judicial. Everything they need for the world government is in place. All they need, of course, is a major event so that the people of the world will say, we never want another terrible war like this one, and so we'll give up our freedom. That's why I believe World War III is inevitable. I believe it's planned. I believe it's going to come about, and we are on the edge, on the very verge of this thing happening. How soon? I can't tell you. But I will tell you that neither the First nor the Second World War touched America, but the next war will. Well, Chris, tell us what Benjamin Krem said when you talked to him, because Benjamin Krem is one of the key figures. He is deeply involved in the occult. He is the messenger for Maitreya, who will be, of course, the coming world ruler. He will be, for the Mohammedan, the Imam Mahdi, the Mahdi who will come to rule the world. For the Indian, for the Hindu, he will be Maitreya. For the Jew, he will be the Messiah. For the Christian, he will be the Christ that we wait to return. And he believes that he's on the world scene now. He's here. He's waiting to surface. Now, what did Benjamin Krem tell you?
Well, Krem, you know, we caught up with Krem in Los Angeles, and we had an interview with him. and told him, you know, about the project we were doing, and it was very interesting. But when he talked about America, he supports the idea. He is a modern esoteric who believes that America is the site of ancient Atlantis. That, again, the same thing that Francis Bacon thought hundreds of years ago, and these secret societies believe. It's still believed today by esoterics, and Krem is one of them. And so he holds that view. He believes that America has a destiny, and he described America's destiny to bring together this synthesis of peoples, of religions, of ideas, and so on, and to basically blend them all together and to be an example for the rest of the world of a unification of all of these ideas into one. And really, that's what his Maitreya represents, as you said, Dr. Stan, the Christ or the world teacher for all nations, all religions, all people, that supposedly he's going to be the fulfillment of all of these things. And really, if you understand the idea of God in the Bible, God says repeatedly that he is holy. And, you know, Jesus is referred to as holy by the apostles. Peter calls him thy holy child Jesus when he's praying to God. Well, the word holy means separate, okay? Not of the world, not mingled in with the things of the world, but separate from the world. Jesus even said of himself, I am not of this world, and so on. And so Jesus is holy. He's separate from these things. But Maitreya is the exact reverse. He is not separate from these things. He is unholy, literally. And he is mingled in amongst all of them, and they are all a part of him, and so on. That's the teaching. That's the belief. So Krem believes, and he's been saying for over 20 years now, that there are still people who receive him and who listen to his message and what he has to say. And what he has to say in a lot of ways sounds like not a bad thing. It's about sharing and about charity and about how, you know, mankind needs to love one another. We need to put aside war and we need to pursue peace and build this glorious golden empire and so on. And these were the kinds of things that he was talking about. But, you know, I asked him at one point, I said, you know, how have the Christians, how have Bible-believing Christians received your message? And he said, his response was, he said, well, you know, many of them think that I'm talking about what they call the Antichrist. Okay? So he's well aware that that Christians believe he's the preacher for the coming Antichrist, that he's very aware of that. But he maintains that Christians don't know what the Antichrist is, that the Antichrist is not a man, but rather an energy, and that this energy really worked through Nero back in, you know, 70 A.D., and that the prophecies of the book of Revelation about this coming Antichrist and all this destruction and so on, all of that has already been fulfilled.
In other words, he's a preterist.
Exactly. He's a preterist.
And, of course, there are many, many Christians, good Christians. These are some of our leading Christians who believe, and I believe they believe a false gospel. But they believe, of course, that the idea that, you know, that there's a coming time when Christ will return again is just not so. They don't believe in a great apocalypse that would be coming at this time for the Battle of Armageddon, nor, of course, the preliminary battles of Ezekiel 38 and 39. That's all passé. Men are going to bring the kingdom of heaven to earth. And the fact that these Christian leaders, and I will not mention them to embarrass them, but they're some of my favorite ministers, but they have been taken in by a false gospel, the gospel of Benjamin Krem, who I do believe is the John the Baptist of the coming Antichrist.
Oh, yeah, and Krem's argument in total there is that because the Antichrist has come and gone, because he's over and done with, that past energy now has made the way for the real Christ to come into the world. So what he's basically teaching people, and he's trying to get people to buy into, is the idea that the next Christ who appears, will be the real Christ. And it's obviously he's trying to work against. And if I had played out his interview more fully, you would have seen him say, you know, he goes on, he talks about how when Maitreya appears, he actually says things like, well, when Maitreya appears and he begins to speak to you, you know, don't think. He says, don't think, you know, don't reason in your mind. Don't say, oh, is this the Antichrist? Somebody told me about the Antichrist. He says, don't think about that. Just go with your emotions. Go with what you feel. And, of course, this is completely contrary to what we're commanded to do in the Bible. Jesus says, take heed that no man deceive you by any means. And we're told not to base our doctrines on our experiences or on our emotions, but rather to govern our emotions based upon what God has given us through his commandments and through the scriptures, so that we can bring our emotions into check. We can judge, you know, if we're having some spiritual experience, or so we think, we measure that against the Word of God, and that tells us how we should understand that, not the other way around, which is what Krem wants. He wants people to throw their Bibles away and just trust whatever emotional reaction Maitreya might give them. And that's, of course, a recipe for disaster. And it's just everything that we're warned against in the Bible. You know, the Bible says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but test the spirits whether or not they be from God. For there are many false prophets gone out into the world. And I think it's clear from a biblical perspective that Benjamin Krem is a false prophet. And he wants people to lower their guard. He wants people to throw away their Bible so they won't be able to see through his deception. So that's mainly what we got from Benjamin Krem.
I would just add that, Sydney, those of you who have not seen or heard the interview with Constance Cumby, where she talks about early on, this would be in the early 1980s, where she goes to a meeting where Benjamin Krem is going to be the speaker. And the high point of the evening is when he is to be possessed by a spiritual force. I would assume demonically possessed, but because Constance is there praying the Lord's Prayer, where everybody else is praying the Great Invocation, asking for this the mystical being to appear. Why, first, the mystical being doesn't appear, and Krem is crestfallen. But Krem actually, and I've seen actually most pictures of this, he actually is overcome. I believe he is possessed by demonic spirits. And, of course, this is what this is all about, this spiritual battle that's going on today. And there is today, you know, certainly we have the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the Trinity. But they have a Trinity too, and that is Satan or Lucifer, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. They have a trinity of evil, as we have a trinity of good. And I believe, of course, the time is coming very soon when this master will appear on the scene, and people will accept him as the true Christ, because, of course, they will be beguiled. He will be the leader who will offer his peace and prosperity. People don't understand. They may cry, peace, peace, but this is not the man who's going to bring us to peace. Not the man who's going to be introduced and brought to earth and given notoriety across America by the likes of Benjamin Krem and his followers. So pick the story up. Did Benjamin Krem say how soon he thought this was going to occur?
Well, you know, he's been saying for over 20 years that he thinks it's going to happen very soon. So he doesn't know exactly when. He says there will be what he calls a day of declaration, where Maitreya will essentially appear on television screens all over the world, and everybody's going to see him all at the same time. And he says, and this is really ominous, and this is a message that permeates the New Age movement throughout all their writings and everything that they say at both the lightest and darkest levels. But what he says is that Maitreya will face humanity with a choice. And the choice is to either build, you know, either give up fighting and warfare and so on, and build the most glorious empire the world has ever seen, or to perish utterly. And those are his words. And we show that in Riddles and Stone. So, but you find similar declarations from people like Barbara Marx Hubbard and many others who are part of the New Age movement. In fact, we show a lot of those quotes in Megiddo 2. Toward the latter part, we show all of these really threatening sort of quotes about wiping out the Christians and those that refuse to conform to the New Age, New World Order system. You've got writings from David Spangler. He's got a book called Reflections on the Christ, where in that book he talks about the Luciferic initiation. One day everybody will, you know, have to face a choice to be initiated into Lucifer and so on, and how it's the power of Lucifer that leads people to the Christ. But again, the Christ he's talking about is not Jesus Christ, but the Antichrist.
Well, you know, Chris, as we talk about these things, I'm sure to many of our listeners, they sound so distant, and certainly, I mean, how does this apply to the world today? And then how do you logically explain why we went into Afghanistan to get Osama bin Laden, let him escape, and then we're still fighting there 5.5 years later? Or why we went into Iraq, supposedly weapons of mass destruction, where we said faulty intelligence, but was anybody ever punished for the faulty intelligence? Logic would tell you that this war so far has cost, the latest estimate, of over, well, pretty close to 750,000 Iraqi lives. Maybe it's only 500,000. Maybe it's only 250,000, but I think it's probably a realistic figure. 750,000 Iraqi lives. Has anybody been punished for giving false or faulty intelligence to the president that got us into this situation, this quagmire in Iraq? And then why are they talking about going to war with Iran? I mean, certainly Ahmadinejad's the only person who's making any ridiculous statements from Iran. I mean, nothing really makes sense unless there's some other force at work in society. And if you're looking for logic, you're not finding it from what appears to be, so there must be another explanation. And it would appear that it's almost without our consent, without our knowledge, without our understanding, we're being drawn into a great, great world war. And just within the last week, the king of Saudi Arabia said America's, it talked about America's illegal illegal occupation of Iraq to unite the whole Muslim world against the United States. And of course, since we're doing everything we can to alienate England and all of our traditional allies, soon America will stand alone against them in a conflict with the Muslim world. We'll pick up the story there, Chris.
Well, that's one of the things that we try to do, to try to bring bring things up into current times and to show how these things tie in. That really, this is, you know, this occult architecture and the philosophy contained therein is the driving force behind what's happening in America and much of the world today. And we talk a pretty good bit about President Bush. And some of his quotes, we talked in Volume 1, but we remind people about how he said, you know, when our founders declared a new order of the ages, they were acting on an ancient hope. And we ask the question, well, what was this ancient hope? And it's this ancient plan of secret societies to establish a new world order. But with that, we have a section where we talk about the Skull and Bones Society and how it came out of Germany. And then, of course, we talk about the German or Bavarian society, the Illuminati, and how their revolutionary faith, according to Dr. James Billington in his book, Fire in the Minds of Men, that it was their occult ideas, much of which were based in Pythagorean philosophy, which we find in Washington, D.C., and which we show you. But many of their occult ideas were what lit the fire in the minds of men and sparked this whole revolutionary era that began around the time of the American Revolution through the French Revolution and the many revolutions throughout Europe, Russia, of course, and then into China, Cuba, throughout the world. And Billington documents them throughout. It's a really big, long book, but he traces it back to the occult philosophies of the Bavarian Illuminati specifically, trace it back to them. So then we show something I know you've talked about, Dr. Stan, President Bush's 2005 inaugural address, where he says, you know, we have lit a fire as well, a fire in the minds of men. And then he goes on to say that this fire will one day spread throughout the world. And it seems that he has all but come out and admitted that he is following this same revolutionary plan that's been around for centuries.
And of course, that comes from the second inaugural address at the close, and we are actually included in the syllabus we put together called The Forbidden Secret. So, but you'll want to see it because it's right there in Chris's video entitled The Riddles. Riddles in Stone. We'll be back in just a moment. Chris, go right ahead. We got 3 minutes for you to wrap up the program.
Well, it's one of the things that that's most important to us in doing the work on the series, this America series, is really a lot of it has to do with Christians. In Ezekiel 22, God reproves his priests because he says they fail to put a difference between the holy and the profane. And one of the things that we're trying to do is to show that many of the elements in America's history and that are a part of America really have nothing to do with Christianity. While we acknowledge that America was in part founded as a Christian nation by Christians who really loved the Lord and who believed the teachings of the Bible, they didn't come over here alone. There were these secret societies who came with them, and they had very different ideas. And I think it's very important for us, as Christians living in America today, to be separate from these things of the world and to show our brothers and sisters the right way of the Lord according to the Scriptures.
And that's why we always say this is a spiritual battle being played out in a political, ideological, and cultural battlefield, because these dark spiritual forces are really there. And you know, Chris, I love it when you actually take the clips from the President Bush's inaugural address, and you will hear him talking about, of course, this idea of the new order of the ages. You'll hear him talking about the fire in the minds of men. I mean, you'll actually see him doing this. I think that really adds so much to the video.
Well, that's the reason we put it there, because a lot of times you talk to people about these things, maybe they believe you or maybe they don't, but when they see the president say it and you set it up for him and you show him all the links and how it fits together, it does have, I find, a much more convicting impact, and that's what we're trying to achieve.
And there, of course, there's a statue of Sir Francis Bacon there in the Library of Congress. What's Francis Bacon doing in the Library of Congress? He was an occultist.
Absolutely, and of course, if you want to know fully why he's there, I recommend seeing Secret Mysteries Volume 1, The New Atlantis, because we talk a lot about Bacon there. And so from Volume 1 to Volume 2, finding his statue in the Library of Congress makes all the sense in the world.
Well, let's get your website up before we let you go, Chris.
Well, we've got a website at, the name of my ministry is Adullam Films. You can go to Adullam, A-D-U-L-L-A-M-F-I-L-M-S, adullamfilms.com or .org, or you can just punch in filmforjesus.com, and it'll come right up.
Well, I think you've done a great job. I didn't think we'd do a better job on the second one, but I think you have, we recommend these films to you, and we'll tell you a little bit more about them in just a moment. Good night. God bless.
Thanks so much, Dr. Stan. God bless.
Bye-bye. Well, this is Dr. Stan. If you'd like to know more about Chris's DVDs, like more information on them, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. His first DVD, Megiddo 1, and now remember, it's a long time since I've seen them, but I think this is the one where he has this very attractive blonde lady who is a medium, and then you suddenly see her transformed as the demonic spirit takes over her very soul and begins to speak to her. Anyway, of course, it's in Megiddo 1 and Megiddo 2. But both of these, of course, are leading up to the Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning DVD, and then, of course, the Riddles in Stone. Now, Secret Mysteries are about 2 1/4, 2.5 hours, and and Vittles and Stone is almost 3 hours. But it takes as long for you to see these things, to see Benjamin Krem, to see the leaders of the Masonic movement try to explain why the name of their god, Yabalob, that's Jehovah, Baal, and Osiris, why is their god Baal? That was the devil. And, of course, you see one of the major apologists for Masonry trying to explain that on this film. And Chris does a good job. He doesn't interrupt them. He doesn't question them. He just simply lets them answer the questions. How do you justify having the name of your god, including the name of Baal, of course, who is the devil? Well, you have to understand that Masonry is a Luciferian organization. The average Mason doesn't know that. Certainly the average American doesn't know that either. 40%, it's said, of Southern Baptist ministers are Masons, who've sworn their allegiance to the great architect of the universe, who is not the God of the Bible. Little wonder we're in the trouble we are as a nation today, and we're headed into World War III. When is it coming? I don't know. But as we see these things unfolding, things that just do not make sense, so there must be another explanation. Well, certainly if you'd like to know more about the series of DVDs, why, of course, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927 if you'd like to know the background of the DVDs, you'd like to know the suggested donation to get these. I think they're very important, and I'm indebted to Chris for all the great work he's done, and to David Bay, who actually was the major producer. Chris was the director and the man who did all the work, but of course David was responsible for financing this. David of Cutting Edge Ministries does a great job, and that's cuttingedge.com. Well, anyway, of course, this is the time I need to mention that Radio Liberty itself is listener-supported, and we have about 60 outlets every week, satellite, internet, radio stations, we do need your help to maintain the network that we have, shortwave. So if you believe in what we're doing and you'd like to become part of our team, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. We'd love to hear from you. And, of course, we hope you'll go to our website at radioliberty.com. If you'd like to get a free copy of our February newsletter, which goes into the background of why I believe we are going to be engaged in a war with Iran in the not-too-distant future, and the total insanity of everything that's going on today. How do we explain it? Well, you'll want to get our February newsletter. It'll be up on the Internet, certainly posted on our website within 3 or 4 days. But if you do not have access to that, would like a free newsletter, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927, and then we ask you to pray for America, to pray for revival, to pray for our leaders and our ministers, but then, of course, we ask you to pray for my ministry. Radio Liberty, we're on the front lines of this truly spiritual battle.